had that we could again assemble together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Thankful to be able to be with those of like precious faith. Thankful to see each and every one of you. Thankful that you're here when you could be elsewhere, but you chose to be here. And that says at least something about you. It says a lot about you. I'm thankful for those that are visiting with us. We love to have visitors with us, and we hope that we can get to know you. We hope that you'll want to come back every opportunity that you have. I'm also thankful for the Word of God. That's our standard. The Bible is unlike any book that has ever been written. It is a book that tells us why we're here, where we're going, how to get there when life is over. It's the only book that tells us of God's plan to save man. You know, the Bible talks about the fact in a number of passages that God created all things, and that by those things that we can know that there's a God so that we are without excuse, as Paul would write in Romans chapter 1. But yet when we look at and we see all the things that God has created, not a one of them tells us how to become a Christian. Not a one of them tells us about the Savior of the world, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Not a one of them tells us how to live righteous before God. But they attest to the fact that God exists. And so we have to go to the Bible to find all that information as to how to end up when life is over to be with God for all eternity. So I'm thankful for that. If I miss the mark in anything that I say, you're not going to hurt my feelings. If you say, "Preacher, you got it wrong." And if I'm wrong about that, I'll be honest about it. I'll make correction about it from this pulpit. And never preach it again that heaven would be my eternal home. But if you find upon studying the Scriptures that what I say is right, the only thing that I ask is that you believe it and obey it. Share it with others that you can go to heaven when life is over. I put the title of the lesson on the board, Things Prepared. If I were to ask you, what does the Bible say about things that have been prepared? What would you say? There's a lot of things that you could include in a lesson about prepared things. In fact, the word prepared and its various ways that it's rendered in the Bible appears in at least 191 verses in the Bible. Whether it's prepare or prepared, preparing, prepare, 191 verses in the Bible that talks about in one way or another things that are being prepared. I just want us to look at a few. You might want to take some notes along the way. The first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. I'm thankful, as I mentioned to you a moment ago, for the things that I said to you, but also for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Without Him, we couldn't be saved. A lot of verses talk about that. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And the book of Hebrews is a book that talks about the superiority of Jesus Christ, the superiority of His offering over the Old Testament offerings of bulls and goats that could never take away the sin of the world, as He talks about in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 1 and following. The superiority of the New Testament law of Christ over the Old Testament law of Moses. The fact that we are not justified by the Old Testament law of Moses, but by faith in Jesus Christ, this side of the cross, the faith of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the Word of God, the Gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible says, "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not." Now watch this, as we talk about prepared things. "But a body thou hast prepared me." In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible talks about the fact that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Himself the form of a man, servant, was made in the likeness of man. Jesus came to the earth with a body that was ultimately going to be crucified. Had a body like you and me. You think He felt pain, anguish? He sure did. Read the crucifixion accounts in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel accounts. And you'll see that Jesus felt like we did. Jesus weary as He traveled. I know that's the case because the Bible talks about the fact that He was weary from His journey in John chapter 4. "But a body thou hast prepared me." A body that He was going to give as a sacrifice For the sin of the whole world tasted death for every man, Hebrews chapter 2 and then verse 9. Although the passage is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 and 9, which is a reflection on Old Testament Scripture, when he says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book, it is written me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then he makes a comparison between what Jesus did and the Old Testament priests, that on a continual basis they had to offer sacrifices, but not so with Jesus. Once and for all, to one time, to offer His body for the sin of the world. And so, things prepared, a body thou hast prepared me. And we ought to be grateful for that, because without the crucifixion of our Lord, without the death of Jesus, we couldn't be saved. He shed His blood, by the way, in His death, John 19, verses 34 and 35, and the blood of Christ saves. Revelation 1, 5, and Ephesians 1, 7, Colossians 2, or Colossians 1, verse 14. But also, did you know that salvation is prepared? Not an accident as to how men are saved, but it's something that God, before the foundation of the world, purposed to save man from their sin by what He accomplished in Christ Jesus. But notice, if you will, a very commonly misused and abused passage. Many times you hear stated at funerals and maybe some other places, but especially funerals, 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men or man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." I don't know how many times that I've went to funerals, as I'm sure you have too, only to hear the preacher officiating at that funeral use this passage to talk about heaven. And the passage isn't dealing with heaven. To get the context of it, you've got to go back at least to the verse before that, when he says in verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was in the mind of God from the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and following. That as a lamb that is slaughtered from the foundation of the world, the Bible talks about in that passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. "But as it is written, I have not seen where you're hurt, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him." And in the Old Testament Scriptures, they only could have partial revelation of what God was going to accomplish in Christ Jesus, as the prophets received the message of God by the Holy Spirit and penned it down. But what's the next verse? "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The things that He's talking about in verse 9 has been revealed. Not will be, has been revealed by the Spirit, and that's revealed in the Word of God. And so the fact that Jesus was going to be crucified and man could be saved through Him has been revealed. In Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11, he talks about the fact that the church was to make known the manifold wisdom of God, who, according to His eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, our Lord, before the world began. Again, that's Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11. But then the Bible talks about, as was read in our hearing just a moment ago, so very well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then verses 20 and 21. When the Bible talks about some vessels, I'm sure you've read this plenty of times before and maybe gave a lot of thought to it. He says, "But in a house, a great house, there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, that is appropriate, suitable, for the master's use. Now watch him, our topic, prepare things. And prepared unto every good work. Now notice what he's saying. In a house, he's saying that there is different types of vessels. And it's probably so in your house too. You probably have some cheaper vessels and maybe some expensive vessels. Some that are wood, maybe some plastic and different materials. That's what he's talking about in this passage. But he's using it, he's using the illustration to get a point across. That if a man will flee these things, purge himself from these. Now if you want to know what the these is in reference to, you've got to go back in the context and notice what he's talking about. He's talking about shunning profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. But then he goes on to say, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Meet, sanctified for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, a lesson that we heard not long ago, talking about the importance of preparation. Remember the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish? Why were the 5 foolish? Because of unpreparedness. They failed to prepare themselves for the return of the bridegroom. And so it's a very foolish thing for us to not prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord, knowing that He's coming again. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. We know He's coming again, so why not get prepared and stay prepared so as to be ready and prepared to meet Him? Each Christian, prepared for every good work. By the way, you know how we are equipped to every good work? 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. That the Word of God fully equips us, fully, or thoroughly, as some versions say, equips us unto every good work. The only way that I know what to do in order to do a good work before God is if I read it in the book. That's the only way that I know what is a good work and what is not a good work, is by the revelation of God. But also, just think about things prepared. We learn about something being prepared from the flood. If I were to ask you what in the days of Noah was prepared, what would you say? Probably the little ones in here could answer that correctly. Well, you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Warned of God that a flood was going to come, told to build an ark, and he did so to the saving of his house. When you go back to the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God told him how to build the ark and gave him the pattern for it. Told him, instructed him what to do. And the Bible sums up Genesis chapter 6 by saying, all that God commanded Noah, thus he did, so did he. The last three words of Genesis chapter 6, so did he. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And he's found among those that are faithful in Hebrews chapter 11, those that died in faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 13. So the ark was prepared. And it's interesting in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, when the Bible talks about the ark, talks about the flood. And he says, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. And then he goes on to say, talk about a very controversial topic today, though it's not controversial in the Bible because the Bible's plain about it. He says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. But then also, we read about the light and the sun being prepared. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 76, and in verse 16. Psalm 76. It's not 16. I've put the wrong reference down on the handout. But I want you to consider, and I'll try to find that for you, the fact that the earth and all things that are in it have been prepared of God, being created by God. And our young people that are going off to institutions of higher learning, so-called, are being taught that no, these things just happen by accident. We all began by some one-celled organism in some pond of scum somewhere. And from that one-cell organism, here we are. Some Big Bang Theory. Well, there's one problem with that. It's just not so. The Bible doesn't teach that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Not that it was by accident. And so if you have an outline and I've got Psalm 76:16 on it, it should be 74 and then verse 16. Reminders of imperfection, I'll take it. It'll keep us humble. The day is thine. One fellow one time said, if somebody keeps pointing out the mistakes in my articles and when I do a bulletin article and so forth, so I'll tell you how to handle that. Just tell them that we don't want to leave anybody out. There's always people looking for mistakes in others, so we figured we'd leave that for those that are looking. But Psalm 74, and then verse 16. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, we woke up this morning and we see the light, and it's there because God prepared it. God created it. Not because of some evolutionary process. In the beginning, God created. A lot of passages talk about that. I think about Psalm 19, 1 and 2. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. They talk about before thou hast ever formed the earth, before you brought forth the mountains, even from everlasting to everlasting, that's as far as this way as this way, thou art God. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. In Genesis 1 and 3, I gave that to you earlier. In Revelation 4 and then verse 11. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, or some versions say, by thy will, they are created. There's a thing about prepared things, number 6. I think about Ezra. All of these are important, and this one is no less important, but I think many times is neglected. In the book of Ezra, the Bible says that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He prepared his heart. That is, he set his heart that this is what I'm going to do. Maybe you've had your heart set on something. Sometimes we get obsessed with things that we get our heart set on. And we kind of let that consume us. We've got to be careful about that. But you understand, having your heart set on something. And that's not always a bad thing. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Mind the things that are above, not on things that are tangible. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. And so, it's not always a bad thing, but we've got to set our heart on spiritual things. It's commendable that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach it. That's something that all of us can take a lesson from. That I'm going to set my heart, I'm going to prepare my heart to seek the law of the Lord, to learn it, to do it, and to teach it. And how important that is for all of us to do. 2 Chronicles 20 and in verse 33 is an example of some folks who failed to do that. Here was Jehoshaphat, the people were idolatrous. Asa reigned after him. But the people had not prepared their heart to do away with those things. The high places were not taken down. Again, that's 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 33. But also, as you think about prepared things, we learn about prepared fire. In the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, when those that were lost come to great judgment day, we hear those words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Prepared. Who's it prepared for? The devil and his angels. But we'll go there for lost. And I don't want to go there, do you? 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9 talks about that. To be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. I'd much rather go to heaven than to be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. If I were to ask you which one do you want to go to, what would be your response? So you read about everlasting fire. But then also you read about a city that has been prepared. Again, earlier, I just want to make sure I gave you the right reference. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and then verse 31 through 33 is where you read about Jehoshaphat and Asa. But a city, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, they looked for a city that He had prepared for them a city. In Matthew 25 and then verse 34, "Come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Hebrews 4 and then verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God," in two times, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 19, He talks about the city. "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city." I want to enter in through the gates of that city. If I do, then I've got to keep His commandments. And then in verse 22, He says, "But whosoever," verse 19 rather, "but he that taketh away from the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the city and from the things that are written in this book." And so, if you want to go to heaven, that prepared place, the prepared home of the redeemed, you've got to obey. It's much like in John chapter 14. As we think about prepared places, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." A prepared place for a prepared people. Last point. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 9, and then verse 7, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment." One day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. "And give an account of the things that I've done in this body according to what I've done, whether it be good or bad." Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 and Romans 14, 10 through 12 and a lot of other passages talk about standing before the judgment seat of Christ. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, the same shall judge him in the last day." You know what will be judged by? The word of God. Are you prepared? We've talked about prepared things. So I ask you, have you prepared your soul for the great judgment day? I don't know when that may be. It might be 10,000 years from now. I don't know. I know I'm not going to run on for 10,000 years. I'm going to die long before that. And so if the day of my death were today, am I prepared for eternity? "Prepare to meet thy God." Amos 4 and in verse 6. Preacher, what do I have to do that I might prepare to meet my God, that I might prepare for the great judgment day? Well, you do what they did in Bible days to prepare, to become a Christian. It had never changed. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believe it, John 8, 24. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and then verse 38. When you do that, all of your sin that you've ever committed will be washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5, and He'll add you to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, Acts 2 and verse 47. And then, that's just the start. And then you remain faithful even to the taking of your life, that heaven be your home. Revelation 2 and verse 14. Maybe you hear this morning, you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord along life's way, you've not been faithful, you want to be restored. Be once again prepared for your last day on the earth or for the Lord's return. What do I have to do if I've obeyed, but along the way I've been unfaithful? Repent of that. Acts 8. Make confession unto God in prayer and He'll forgive us. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.